acoustic music lovers. You're listening to Acoustic Encounters. I'm Danny Barnes.
And I'm David Dog Grisman.
Barney Daniels and Grizzly Davidson. Man, we got a lot of Doc Watson to talk about today, David.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some live shows that we put out of three different projects. They were all recorded pretty much in the space of 1 year between October 1997 and October of 1998. The first one is Doc and Dog Live at Acoustic Stage.
That's in North Carolina? Yeah. So this was kind of his home gig a little bit?
I guess so. It's in Hickory, North Carolina. I don't know how far that is from Deep Gap.
Because he talks about some of his other family being at this gig and stuff, it seemed like.
Right. His grandson, Richard, was at this gig.
So this was North Carolina, and then there was one in Watsonville, California.
Right.
And Town Hall, that's kind of a historic venue, isn't it?
Yeah, New York. It's a really classy concert hall.
Nice. Kind of like Carnegie Hall in that it was like a
Well, it was smaller. Oh. I think Town Hall seats about 1,500 people. I played there several times. It's one of the best places to play in New York.
And it's in the city there?
Yeah. I once lit up a joint on stage
At Town Hall. I think there's been a bunch of cool recordings there, like Louis Armstrong and all kind of stuff there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Notable performances. Richard Strauss, Pablo Casals, Paul Robeson, Andrea Segovia, Edna St. Vincent Millay.
Wow. I'm in good company.
Yeah. The Hickory gig, was that kind of like a theater?
Yeah.
It sounded like a pretty big venue, like with the audience applause and that. I thought it sounded like a pretty big hall.
I know. I played there two or three nights in a row. I played there with Tony Rice, and I think I played the first one was with Doc. Wow. And the second one was with Tony Rice.
In a row?
Yeah.
Wow.
Back to back.
Couldn't you find anybody good to play with? Holy cow.
Yeah, that was quite an experience. And we released the Tony Rice concert as well.
Uh-huh.
That's called Dog and Tea, I think.
And then the Watsonville was closer to your home. Isn't that out by Santa Cruz kind of Watsonville?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's closer to you then.
Yeah.
So in general, he didn't work with a set list, you said?
He never had a set list, Danny.
Oh, my God.
You never knew what was coming. It was really a great thing. But you had to be on your toes.
Oh, man.
I'm sure there's several tunes on these concerts that I was playing for the first time in my life.
Oh, you could call anything. That was kind of how that was going to go. That's funny.
Yeah.
His repertoire included a lot of different things. He had kind of like the mountain songs, and he had all kind of different feels in there.
Yeah, he did all kinds of things.
Like popular songs
sometimes?
Yeah, he
did. You Are My Special Angel.
Oh, yeah.
He did that. I think he did A Stairway to Heaven.
All the shows had Jack playing with them, too.
Right. We'd start the show just the two of us, and after a couple of three numbers, he'd invite Jack onto stage. So most of it was with Jack Lawrence, who was a great guitar player in his own right, a kind of Doc's protege. He was his road manager. And,
no kidding.
Yeah.
Seemed like the couple of shows I played with him, he tended to do the interface on the sound guy, too. Seemed like he would sort of work with the sound guy.
Yeah, I think his dad may have been a sound engineer.
Is he in North Carolina, too?
Yeah, he lives in North Carolina. He lives around Charlotte. Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a good dude. It's cool that you had enough foresight to get all this recorded so it'd be documented.
Yeah. I believe all of these shows were recorded by Larry Cummings, who was a great sound man. And I think at least the Watsonville I brought my Fostex half-inch two-track.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, tape machine.
Oh, no kidding,
yeah,
no kidding.
I spent the large dinero on half-inch reels of tape.
Nice.
Yeah.
Were you running 30 IPS, you think?
I'm not sure, because a live show, it might have been 15.
I was going to say, you must have had a lot of tape.
Yeah, I've got a bunch more that's never been released.
Of Doc shows, you mean?
Doc and Dog,
oh,
yeah.
Wow, cool.
Mm-hmm. I just figured it was worth, pardon the pun, documenting.
Now, was he a real doctor?
No, I think he may have gotten an honorary doctorate from somewhere, but I think it was based on the Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
Oh,
Watson.
Yeah. Oh, I got you. I got you.
I think that's where that came from, yeah.
I guess so. Yeah. That's funny.
His real name is Arthel.
Arthel.
I don't think I've ever known anyone else
named
Arthel.
No, I've never heard that name before, Arthel. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about Merle. Like, did you know Merle?
Yes.
You were friends with Merle?
I met Merle at the Union Grove Fiddlers Convention in 1964 or 65, before he even picked up a guitar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I always liked the way they sounded together.
Yeah, no, it was great.
They had a different sound. They didn't play the same, you know?
Yeah, Merle was kind of into slide guitar.
Finger picking.
Yeah.
Jack's more like, to me, is a little bit closer to Doc.
Right. Yeah, that was a real tragic passing of Merle. He got killed driving a tractor, turned over a tractor.
It was a farm accident.
And he had cut himself working with a saw, and it just must have been a horrible end. I don't think Doc ever got over
that. I was going to say, that must have been rough for
him. Yeah, that was tough. But I remember hanging out with both of them. I remember both of them coming over my house in Mill Valley. Doc was the first professional musician to ever invite me onto a stage. I was about 17 years old at Gertie's Folk City.
Wow.
And we played In the Pines and something else. I can't remember.
Did he ever mention that when y'all played that again later?
Yeah.
That was in the Village, the show, Gertie's?
Gertie's, yeah. Probably in 62 or 63, maybe, when I was going to NYU.
He was pretty young himself then, too, right?
I guess I met him when I was 15, so he would have been 37 already, yeah.
He used to come to New York a lot, didn't he?
Yeah, well, Ralph Rinsler discovered Doc Watson, and Ralph Rinsler was my neighbor, and he went down to Shoons, Tennessee, to record Clarence Ashley, who he had rediscovered. Clarence Ashley was an old-time banjo player, guitar player, musician, who had recorded in the 20s and 30s. Under his own name, he made some classic recordings. Probably the most famous is the Cuckoo Bird. He was also a member of Bird Moore's Hot Shots.
Or Crumb Cards, I think, that band you just mentioned.
Oh, okay, yeah. And Doc Watson was one of his neighbors. It was right on the border, North Carolina and Tennessee. And Doc was playing electric guitar on the weekends in a nightclub there, bar. And Clarence wanted him to be on the recording. And Ralph, at first, didn't want electric guitar on there and didn't realize what a masterful acoustic player Doc was. But the story is that they were sitting on the back of a truck with Doc Watson, and Ralph had his five-string banjo, and Doc asked if he could check it out, and he started playing great old-time banjo, and Ralph realized he wasn't just a rockabilly player.
Did you ever hear him play electric?
You know, I don't believe I ever have heard Doc play electric.
I bet he was really good.
Yeah.
I always thought he was kind of like in a dance band or a swing band or something like that.
He was in a country band, I think. I've heard that band or some of those musicians play at Merlefest.
Wow.
But I don't think Doc was playing electric with them. In any case, Doc ended up on most of those recordings. I remember coming over to Ralph's house and sitting in his kitchen when he came back from making those recordings. He was real excited and was playing some of this stuff for me. And he always remembered that I was the first person that said, "Who's that guitar player?" You know, I was kind of blown away by Doc's guitar playing. Ralph was involved in the Friends of Old Time Music that started bringing traditional musicians up for concerts in New York, most of which happened at NYU, where I was going to school, or even before I went there. So that's when I met Doc, and Doc used to stay at Ralph's apartment on 3rd Street in Greenwich Village, and I would often take him around New York to go shopping or, quote-unquote, look around, you know.
Yeah.
So I got to know him on a personal basis.
That's cool.
Through Ralph Rinsler.
Yeah, that's a neat story. I've heard you talk about that before.
Yeah.
You heard that guitar playing on that. That's that Live at Clarence Ashley's. That's the name of that record?
Well, it's called Old Time Music at Clarence Ashley's. There's two volumes of it originally on LP, and then Ralph put out a double CD, which had even more unreleased songs from those sessions.
Where did they record them at?
I imagine his house, right? His living room,
yeah,
you know.
That's so cool.
Yeah. He went down with a guy named Eugene Earle, who was a record collector, and he may have had the tape machine, or it may have been Ralph's. I know Ralph ultimately had a Nagra, but I'm not sure if those recordings were made with a Nagra or not.
Yes.
But they were well recorded and came out on Folkways.
He could play a lot of different instruments, right? He played the harmonica and the
banjo. He played the mandolin, too.
Really? No kidding. I never heard that.
Yeah, there's a tune, Blackberry Rag or something
that
like
that. That he wrote?
I don't know if he wrote it, but he recorded it on one of those albums.
I never heard that. That's pretty cool.
The Watson Family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The acoustic stage one was the first one in 97. So by the time you got to there, you guys had known each other a lot of years.
Well, when I made that record, Home is Where the Heart Is, I wanted to record with a lot of my heroes. So I asked Doc if he would record. And we recorded quite a few duets in a studio in Richmond, California. That would have been around 1988.
Did y'all have rehearsals? Like when y'all got ready to do this show here, did y'all build in rehearsal time? Or was it kind of fly by the seat?
You know, I don't remember ever really rehearsing. Like the sound check, you know. It was always by the seat of your pants, you know, with Doc. And, of course, I was familiar with a lot of those songs. And many of them I had played before. But, you know, he did a lot of Jimmy Rogers songs.
It was kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
He'd do some Monroe Brothers things. Yeah. And Delmore Brothers or whatever, different ones.
I don't remember ever really rehearsing. We did some recording in my first studio in Mill Valley. It was like we had Doc and Jack over for dinner, and after dinner, we went downstairs in the studio and recorded a bunch of stuff. And that's where that plus tunes that were left over from Home is Where the Heart Is, that's where that Doc and Dog album came from in the studio. But these are live recordings. I guess we started playing gigs together around this time, maybe a little earlier, but the late 90s.
Well, shall we listen to a little bit of music from this record?
Sure, yeah.
You know, the one I kind of dug off of here I wanted to play was that Doc and Dog off of this one.
It's kind of a generic tune. It's kind of like that song, Are You Waiting Just For Me, My Darling? The Stanley Brothers tune.
Yes.
I just figured I'd write something for us to play together. And this is from Live at Acoustic Stage, October 10th, 1997.
Hello, I'm Dog.
And I'm Dog.
Take it on down.
Man, get a couple of masters like you two guys playing, man. You don't have to do much rehearsing, do you, David?
You just got to be on your toes, Danny. But
man, I ain't never been on my toes like that.
Oh, sure you have.
Does he plug in or does he has a little bit of pickup sound in
there? Yeah, he did. I always had a mic on him anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And he was very loud in the monitors.
Really?
Yeah. What are you going to do? You can't tell Doc Watson to turn it down, you know? Actually, that tune, it's got a bar of six. It's not quite like that mm-hmm. Stanley Brothers mm-hmm. tune, which has a bar of five.
Where did that song originally appear? Is this the first time that it's appeared? Or
I'm not sure the date of that session in my basement. I think that's where it...
Has that come out before?
Yeah, the Doc okay. and Dog album, I think, was released in 1997.
I see.
Our first session was in 1987, in July, and then October 1990 and May 1991. These recordings had been around for a few years before we put together an album of them. Aside from the cuts that were used on the Home Is Where the Heart Is album, I just recorded any chance you have Doc Watson over your house and you have a recording studio. The rest is a foregone conclusion. I guess that tune was written around 1991 or 1990.
I see.
I might have made it up just on the spot there. Who knows?
Yeah, it sure sounded good hearing y'all play that. Let's play something else off of there.
Okay.
Another one you were mentioning to play off of there was that Cora Is Gone with Jack singing on it.
Okay, yeah.
Our old buddy Jack Lawrence. He was playing at your 80th birthday party. Jack came and played.
Yeah, he did, yeah. He was going to surprise me, but he broke down and warned me in advance.
<you know? laughs>
And then I recruited him to play that tune, Watsonville, which I finally wrote a tune dedicated to Doc. It's another one that he would have enjoyed playing. This is a tune that Jack used to sing on the shows. Doc always liked to feature him doing a couple of vocal numbers. This is a Flat and Scruggs tune.
I was going to say that's where I knew it from, was Flat and Scruggs.
Jack's a big Flat and Scruggs fan, so here we are. Cora Is Gone. I think they recorded this on Mercury.
Yeah,
one of their first recordings.
I'm going to turn the microphone over to Brother Jack Lawrence and let him sing a pretty song for you or something other.
I'm going to sing a sad song. Actually, given my performance, it could be termed pitiful, but it is a sad song. The name of the song is Cora Is Gone. Went through the night, singing to me a song. The whippoorwill calls just a reminder, pretty girls have hearts made of stone.
I'm awake with the blues at dawn, my darling Cora is gone.
I don't know why she told me goodbye, but my darling Cora is gone. that where I roam. Going to live in the deep forest, dark hollow is my new home.
I awake with the blues at dawn.
Mr. Jack Lawrence.
That's some good picking from Brother Jack there, singing.
Yeah, and Doc.
Yeah, no kidding. And you. That good old Lester Flatt classic there.
I think that was a solo. Was there harmony on
I don't
that?
Think so. I think he sang that by himself. Yeah, kind of think of it. Shall we go on and listen to some of this other stuff?
Yeah.
Talk about another one? So yeah. The next one in order would have been the Watsonville one, right? Because that's 322.98.
Right.
So y'all playing out in California this time. And it's you and Jack and Doc again.
Yeah. Interesting thing about this one, the mayor came out and he gave Doc the key to the city, and he had a proclamation where he renamed the town of Watsonville Doc Watsonville for that day, and made a little speech on the stage, which maybe we'll listen to.
In honor of his visit here, I have made this proclamation. I have renamed, with the power invested in me as the mayor of Watsonville, I have renamed the city of Watsonville, Doc Watsonville, for today. The judge is out and the dock is in. Thanks very much for coming, and I hope you come back again.
Thank you, Mayor.
Did Doc think that was pretty funny and cool?
Yeah, I guess he did. Doc was a pretty humble guy, you know. He never made a big fuss about anything. What would you like to listen to from that show?
I think that Long Journey Home is such a classic song. That one got me going pretty good. Y'all's a long journey home there. Can we hear that one?
Sure.
Lost all my money but a $2 bill. A $2 bill, Lord, a $2 bill. Lost all my money but a $2 bill. I'm on my long journey home. Lord, it's cloudy in the west and looking like rain. Looking like rain, Lord, it's looking like rain. It's cloudy in the west and looking like rain. I'm on my long journey home. Lost all my money but a $2 bill. A $2 bill, Lord, a $2 bill. Lost all my money but a $2 bill. I'm on my long journey home. Pick it, dog. I'll make that mandolin bark, son, yeah. I'm homesick and lonesome and I'm feeling mighty blue. Feeling awful blue, yes, I'm feeling mighty blue. Homesick and lonesome and I'm feeling mighty blue. I'm on my long journey home. Lost all my money but a $2 bill. A $2 bill, Lord, a $2 bill. Lost all my money but a $2 bill. I'm on my long journey home. There's black smoke arising and it surely is a train. It must be a train, Lord, it's gonna be a train. There's black smoke arising and it surely is a train. I'm on my long journey home. Lost all my money but a $2 bill. A $2 bill, oh, the $2 bill. Lost all my money but a $2 bill. I'm on my long journey home.
Now, that'll get you on down the road there.
That's one of the numbers we recorded on the Home Is Where the Heart Is.
Now, I always thought of that as a Monroe Brothers.
It's Monroe Brothers. In fact, I think that's maybe the first song they recorded at their first session in 1936.
Were you singing tenor?
I was singing there, but on that record I had...
But you sang tenor then.
Yeah.
You sounded good there. You sounded good on that.
Yeah. Could have done better, but I was starting to lose my tenor voice. On the recording, Home Is Where the Heart Is, I think I had Curly Seckler sing tenor on that. Yeah. I wanted the best there, Danny.
Yeah, I see.
That's just the two of us, and right before that we did In the Pines, which was the song that I remember playing with Doc at Gertie's Folk City when he asked me up on stage.
Do you want to play that one?
Sure.
I remember... In 1960, I'm going to say this was 61, it could have been 62, David, I'm not really sure. I was kind of breaking into the folk revival, playing, paying the dues that you have to pay. I was playing in a little place called Gertie's Folk City, scared half to death every time I got up on the stage. And some folks from Passaic, New Jersey came in, three young folks, it might have been four, Richard Rensselaer and his sister, and that young man is sitting right there. I can call him young because he's a whole lot younger than I am. And he was 17 then, and Richard got around and he said, Doc Watson, ask David Grisman to come up there. He's got his mandolin with him. Ask him to come up and pick one with you. Well, I don't know if he was reluctant or not, but he sure enjoyed it. We picked this one right here.
I credit you as starting my career, Doc, That's the first pro that ever invited me onto a stage.
Now, wait a minute. I wasn't a pro then. I told
you,
I was scared to death.
Always a pro.
All right. Start off that lonesome song we played that night.
All right.
In the pines where the sun never
cold wind blows.
I think it's pretty, Davey.
Sound y'all got on that,
man. When you talk about American folk music, there's a guy that hit the bullseye. Whoa. Man,
yeah, it's like a Mount Rushmore of that form, you know.
You know, he's in the tradition and it's not overly polished, but he was really in tune. Mr. Taste. He never played anything that wasn't tasteful. Wish I could say that, Danny.
Me too. He also played a lot of different kinds of stuff, too. He had a lot of different things in his bag.
Yeah, he
sure
did.
The finger-picking stuff, you know, and the great singer, too, you know.
Played fiddle tunes.
Really good harmonica player, too.
That's true, yeah, and banjo player.
Killer banjo player, yeah.
Yeah, did it all.
He was out there a lot of years playing his show a long time, right?
Probably since around 1960.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. 30 years by the time y'all did this. Hey, you want to go on and hear some of the stuff from this other record? You got another one here.
Yeah.
Yet another live show here.
Yeah.
We're moving up to Town Hall now, moving uptown in New York, the big city. You want to play that Blue Railroad Train then?
Yeah, that's a Delmore Brothers song, another big influence on Doc. Of course, he did the Deep River Blues, another Delmore Brothers song. This is one, I don't think we ever played this one on a show before this. We'll try it.
It makes me feel so doggone blue to listen to that old smokestack. Come back again, let me hear your whistle blow. You're taking the sun and leaving the rain and making me want to go. Pick it, Jackson. Lord, I've got the blues, longing for a comeback.
folks I'm not so bad as some people think I am. Though I've rambled here, traveled there, hoboed these states all around. Blue railroad train, you've been a pal to me. You're taking me where I wanted to go. I got my transportation free.
Blue Railroad Train.
Yeah.
That's good picking.
Man, him and Doc really had their sound together. They were really kind of like one unit. They played together a bunch of shows.
They were together a long time. But they had their own different approach to it.
It's amazing those three shows are put out in just about a year of time.
Quite a few that got recorded.
So there's more in the vault.
Yeah, there's a great one at the Ryman Auditorium. May have been the last time with some special guests. Hope to be able to put that out. You mentioned the Watson Blues, right?
Yeah, I think that's a classic.
Yeah, this is a tune that Bill Monroe wrote for Doc Watson. They played gigs together, you know. Ralph Rinsler came to be Bill Monroe's manager and Doc's manager, so he put them on the bill together. They'd always play some duets. It's too bad they never recorded an album in the studio.
Seems like I've heard some recordings of
there that. There was a live bootleg put
Watermelon on the Vine or something.
Yeah, they did that. And a lot of these tunes, probably Long Journey Home. And the Watson Blues, this is another one I recorded with Doc at the first session there, and I overdubbed a band onto it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
The Nashville Bluegrass Band guys.
Wow.
Stuart Duncan, I had him playing twin fiddles. Here's the version from Town Hall. This has this classic run that Doc did to kick off this tune that Bill Monroe really liked. Thank you.
last one, son.
Got lots of the classic riff in there.
Yeah.
Pops it in there. So it's cool. Pops
yeah,
in
he
there.
Really laid it to it.
Yeah.
As Red Allen would say.
Monroe wrote that for Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was inspired by that run. I don't know which came first, the song or the run.
You want to close out with Blue Eyed Jane?
This was the encore.
No kidding.
Yeah. This was the last tune of the night.
Well, that's a fitting one for us to close that, go out with.
Yeah. I think they probably have a curfew. New York is heavily unionized. There's always about 27 guys on the stage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Three guys play the gig, and there's... I once looked at the budget. They show you the expenses so that you understand why you're making so little money.
You know?
I swear they had like $6,000 for lunch for the stagehands.
Wow.
Yeah. We won't worry about the business part of the music.
No, we don't
got to
worry about that no more.
Our good friend Peter Siegel was in the audience, and you'll hear Doc dedicate the song to him. It's another great Jimmy Rogers song. I think this was Peter's favorite Jimmy Rogers song. This was a little more obscure, but nevertheless a classic.
All right.
My Blue-Eyed Jane.
I believe a good friend of mine, I used to know him in the 60s, hadn't spoke to him in many a day, Mr. Peter Siegel. Are you in the house, buddy? All right. We'll pick a song for you. Hey, I don't need the cheater for this. Let me fix a wire here, Jack. I didn't have all this gear, Peter, when I used to pick at Gertie's Folk City and we walked home through that January cold nights. You remember that? Ye gods. That's enough to freeze a fella's ears off. I was a whole lot younger then, son. I guess you were too. I ain't gonna tell you what this song is, we're just gonna pick it. The sweetest girl in the world lives in my hometown. We fell in love like turtle doves while the moon was shining down. I asked her then, asked her when the wedding bells would ring. She said, oh dear, it seems so strange that this should happen here. She's my blue-eyed Jane, oh, to me, the sweetest thing. I love her so. Blue-eyed Jane, and when the sun goes down and the shadows creeping over town, she meets me in the lane, my blue-eyed Jane. Thank you. listen here, Janie dear, I've come to say farewell. Sweetheart, you know I love you so, much more than there's words to tell. But I must go away today, honey, won't you come with me? I'm gonna be blue, missing you, longing every day for you, my blue-eyed Jane. Oh, to me, you're the sweetest thing. I love you so, my blue-eyed Jane. And when the sun goes down and the shadows creeping over town, won't you meet me in the lane, my blue-eyed Jane? Sun goes down and the shadows creeping over town, then I'll come home to you, my blue-eyed Jane. Thank you, folks, and good night.
Beautiful song there.
Yeah.
Beautiful song.
It's an honor to get to play with that guy.
Yeah. He probably felt the same way about you.
Well, and the fact that you never knew what was coming, I think it led to more spontaneity that way. It's nice to not know what's coming next, because you know you have to pay attention.
He could stay in complete control then, too. Like, yeah. If he didn't feel like singing, he could change something.
I mean, that's
else.
The way he always used to say it on stage. I'm playing for you folks just like I would if you were in my living room. He just didn't feel comfortable doing anything else. And he knew whoever was with him was on that same journey there. You know, they were ready to go wherever he took it.
Well, he didn't have to worry too much about you not being sharp enough to catch it.
I appreciate him giving me that chance. Fortunately, Jack and Doc were so locked in, and mm-hmm. I'm sure Jack had played all these songs before. Mm-hmm. We were both trying to fit in wherever we could.
You got your name up there. You gotta,
yeah.
You gotta give him some grist. Gotta give him some dog grist. And that's right.
You know, I made it through.
Live to tell the tale.
Yeah.
Well, great, David. Thanks for putting all this stuff out, man. I really enjoyed listening to this and getting caught up with all this music.
Well,
there's
thanks.
A lot of Doc Watson I listened to this week.
Yeah, I threw you a curveball.
Oh, that's okay.
Three CDs.
Yeah, three. There was a lot of music.
A lot of music. I appreciate you wading through it.
It was a little bit like War and Peace. Wade through that one.
The Leo Tolstoy of acoustic music. Thanks for guiding me along this.
That was real fun, David.
These trips down memory lane.
Thanks for the music.
All right, thank you. We'll see you next time.
That's all we have time for. Thank you, David Grossman.